Morning. Wanted you to pay attention to something that's in the bulletin. We are trying to do a ministry with the folks in the apartment complex that is right next to us here, and we're going to have a meeting this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock here at the church building to talk about that. So if that's something you're interested in being a part of, then please come to that meeting at 7 o'clock. We think we have a great opportunity with the folks that are right next door to us to be of service to them and help them know Jesus. If you have not been with us, you're a guest this morning or something, we've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes. We call it A Journey with Qohelet because Qohelet is the name for preacher or teacher, and throughout the book, the preacher says or the preacher states this. And so that's Qohelet, who Qohelet is. This morning we're in chapter 9. Those of you who have the booklet, you've been following along, you hopefully have read chapter 9 this morning. Waiting for is our topic this morning. We have somebody with us that's very important. To us, Greg O. has been an unofficial member, but he wants to be recognized as an official member. Greg, would you stand up so people can know? So Greg has been involved in doing things, and I guess he always thought himself unofficial, so now he's official. We'll get a picture of him in the directory, and we'll all be set. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are thankful for the hope that you provide for us. As was read in the scripture this morning, we do not grieve like those who do not have hope. While we grieve when we lose loved ones, Father, we don't grieve like those who do not have hope, because we know of the hope and the resurrection that you have provided through Jesus Christ. And Father, as we reflect upon your scripture this morning and the words of Qohelet, and as we think about our hope, we ask that you bless the preaching and the hearing of your word. It's your son we pray. Amen. In 1953, a man by the name of Samuel Beckett wrote a play that was produced and became very popular with the nihilist and existentialist crowd. The title of the play is Waiting on Godot, which is not to be confused with that famous play, Waiting on Grego. That's a different play. Waiting on Godot. And the basic plot of the play is you have these two bedraggled travelers that are traveling along, and they stop by this tree, and they wait there for this person named Godot. And while they wait, they engage in these different discussions, telling jokes about dead dogs or talking about theology that goes in circles, and they just go on to this meaningless talk, much of it humorous, but meaningless talk, which reminds you of a Seinfeld episode. And every day, a young boy comes and tells them, Godot is not coming today. Now, the interesting thing is that Beckett never described who he was trying to represent with Godot, but it really seems like it's death, that those guys were waiting on death. Well, I've asked death to join us this morning. Death, are you here? Yes, death is going to come out and join us this morning. Hello, death. Oh, maybe not. Have a seat, please. I've asked death to be here with us this morning because the fact of the matter is we would usually rather not talk about death. We kind of just want to ignore the whole subject, go on as if this is not taking place, maybe not go to the funerals, try to live our lives having a good time, going on with things, and avoiding and shielding ourselves from death. So I've asked these guys to put up a shield. He's shielding us, or they're shielding us from death. We may not be waiting on death, but I assure you, death is waiting on us. And while others shy from talking about death, we've noticed, if you've been reading Ecclesiastes, we notice in chapter 9 this week, Qohelet has no concern about talking about death. Listen to this long reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. So I reflected on all this and concluded that the righteous and the wise and what they do are in God's hands. But no one knows whether love or hate awaits them. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so it is with the sinful. As it is with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. This is the evil in everything that happens under the sun. The same destiny overtakes all. The hearts of people, moreover, are full of evil, and there is madness in their hearts while they live, and afterwards they join the dead. Anyone who is among the living has hope. Even a live dog is better off than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Go! Go! Eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved of what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun, Colette says. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly on them. Just gives you a warm fuzzy, doesn't it? Yeah, that's good stuff. This is not the sort of thing that should be in the Bible, right? The Bible should have positive, encouraging messages, like K-Love Radio. Positive, encouraging message, right? Talking about hope. Talking about great things to come. It should be like the movie Facing the Giants, where people trust in God and they kick the field goal at the end and win the game. That should be the Bible, right? This should not be in the Bible. Positive and fair and triumphant words is what we should get. If you do right, God will honor you. If you work hard, then you'll be successful. But Colette has been observing life and he thinks that things don't quite work out this way. The race is not to the swift. How is it that the slow win the race? It's simple. They cheat. Did you hear this week about the Russians and the Sochi Winter Olympics? It came out. They cheated all the way through. They won way more gold medals, won way more medals than everybody else. Come to find out, they cheated. It was quite extravagant, but they cheated. The race is not to the swift, Colette watches and sees. And the godly, we'd say, well, at least if you're not going to be successful, if things aren't going to work out for you in this life, at least they're going to work out for you well in the next life. And Colette's response is, nope. All share a common destiny, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the clean and the unclean, those who offer sacrifices and those who do not. As it is with the good, so with the sinful, as it was with those who take oaths, so with those who are afraid to take them. Everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to go to the same place. And so it really doesn't seem to benefit you to be good, righteous, religious in this life. The people of Israel held two things in tension. One is a trust in God. And Colette starts off this whole passage. He trusts in God. He starts talking about God first thing. So he never questions God. But he has observed that there's really not justice going on in the world. And he's talked about that all throughout Ecclesiastes. You can pray all you want about your husband who is straying. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come back, despite what the Christian movies tell you. You can sacrifice all you want. It doesn't mean that you're not necessarily going to be poor or that you're not going to get, or you, that you are going to get something better in the next life. Colette says, I've been observing things and it doesn't necessarily happen that way. The second part of the tension is this whole business of afterlife. They believe in God, but what about this afterlife? And the people of Israel were sort of dubious about the afterlife. The general understanding was that you're going to go to a place called the pit or Sheol, which is the underworld place where people just go and they live sort of as shades in this place. And it's really not until the book of Daniel that you start getting discussions of resurrection in the Old Testament. And even down to the day of Jesus, you see Jesus debating with the Sadducees who are still holding on to this notion that there is no resurrection. The Pharisees believed it, but not the Sadducees. So if there's no justice in this life, well, you say we're going to get justice in the next life, and Qohelet says, not going to happen. Everybody goes to the dead, and that's the end. Nobody remembers you. You know nothing. Everybody is like Rover, dead all over. Good, bad, rich, poor, fast, slow, whatever. Everybody is dead. And death is waiting on everyone. Still waiting, aren't you, Death? Still waiting over there? Okay. Making sure you're not sleeping through the sermon. Okay. So if this is the case, if that's really how things are, what should we do about it? Well, Qohelet says the answer to that is just be a good existentialist. Eat, drink, and be merry, or tomorrow you die. Enjoy your life. Seize the day. Go back to chapter 9, beginning of verse 7. Go! Go! Eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved of what you do. Always be clothed in white and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun, all your meaningless days. For this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor plotting nor knowledge nor wisdom. So just enjoy life. We've heard similar things in our own lives. Some of you who are a little older might remember the country song sang by Peggy Lee titled, If That's All There Is. Here are some of those words. And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to a circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. As I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a circus? And then the chorus of the song, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball if that's all there is. Remember Robin Williams standing on the desk, Dead Poets Society? Seize the day, boy, because you don't know what's going to come tomorrow. Seize the day. One Christian writer gave us a G version of Peggy Lee's song. He said, so today, well, everything's okay, go get a double dip of Rocky Road. Rocky Road ice cream in a waffle cone. Take some friends with you. Lick your ice cream slowly and just enjoy being together. Call an old friend you haven't spoken to in 6 months and get caught up. Rent a movie you wanted to see and curl up on a sofa with some hot popcorn. Okay, let me see if I understand this correctly. You have God, but after you die, He's having nothing to do with you, and you don't necessarily get justice in this life. You're surely not going to get it in the next life because everybody just goes to the same place. So you're getting maybe some justice, but maybe not in this life. And really what you should do is just make the most of this life and party as much as you can, because sooner or later, you know who's coming. You know who's waiting. You're still waiting, right? Still waiting over there? Okay, all right. Is that what I understand that this is all telling us? Well, if that's the case, if I understand me correctly, this really seems like really good advice to a middle-class American. But it's not such good advice to a starving man in Somalia. You say to him he should enjoy his food. He'd like to enjoy his food if he could have any. He'd like to enjoy and drink his wine in gladness and enjoy. But he'd like to have water even more. He'd like to spend time with his wife, except she died last year of starvation. This is really good advice to young people with lots of energy and their whole life before them. But what about the guy in the nursing home that sleeps half of the day and when he's awake, he's in pain? He'd like to eat his bread and eat his food with gladness, but it's all bland. He'd like to drink his wine with joy, but there's no joy in that bed he's in. He'd like to spend his days with his wife, but she's over in the dementia ward. Is this really what he's advocating? Isn't this just an attempt to kind of shield us from death by saying all the things that Qoheleth has said here? Isn't that really what he's trying to do, is put this shield up to shield us from death? Party on, eat, drink, and be merry. But you can do that all you want. Death is still waiting. Still waiting, death? Still waiting? Okay, all right. Is that really what Qoheleth is advocating? That we make the most of things? Maybe. But maybe what he's doing is taking this tension between God existing and this business of no afterlife, and he's pushing it to a really absurd place. Because can we really believe that God loves us and cares for us until we die? Can we really believe that our faith in this life really ultimately amounts to nothing? Can we really believe that life is this giant maze that we weave through only to get to a dead end? Can we really believe that there is absolutely no hope? Maybe that's what he's saying, but maybe what he's doing is exposing to us how meaningless that life is. How meaningless life is lived here that has absolutely no hope. Keep dancing, keep getting out the booze, eat your rocky road, but guess what? It's all going to end. Maybe he's really showing us the absurdity of it all. I think Qoheleth has exposed what's really going on. That what we're all doing is that we're all just waiting for death. And death is waiting for us. And we've been trying to shield it off by all the things that we're doing, by having our rocky road or whatever we're doing, but that's just delaying. Death is still waiting. Still waiting, death? All right, still haven't fallen asleep in the sermon. Good. Death is still waiting. And death is undefeated. Undefeated. Or at least he was until a Sunday morning about 2,000 years ago. Can you imagine, Walter asked us to imagine this morning, the disciples later, can you imagine what it would have been like for those women who have gone to the tomb and it's empty? And then an angel speaks to them. And then one of them, Mary, she goes over to the gardener just to ask him, what's going on here? Where have they taken the body? Only she finds out, it's not the gardener. It's Jesus, and he's been raised. How long do you think it took them for the implications of all of that to come to them, that Jesus was raised, that somebody has finally beaten death? If they hadn't gotten all the implications, the Apostle Paul made them clear in the book of Romans. He said, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. And so there's two specific implications here. Number one, we can quit pretending that death is not waiting for us. We know he's waiting for us. We can quit pretending. So really what we need to do is just get rid of the shield. Fellas, would you come get rid of this shield? We can quit pretending that death is not waiting for us. Death is there and waiting for us, but there is no reason for us to be afraid of death. Because the second implication is death no longer has a hold on us. Listen to Paul talk about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. First fruits. What's that telling us? More coming. And he goes on. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his turn, Christ the first fruits, then he, when he comes, those who belong to him. So much more, Paul says, so much more than simply enjoying our wine and eating our rocky road till we get to the dead end here. In fact, he says, if that's what we're all about, we have really missed it and we're really to be pitied. He says, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be most pitied. Qoheleth cannot be serious that that's what this is all about. There has to be something more. And Paul says there is something more. And so we do not grieve like those who have no hope. We grieve, but not like those who have no hope. Because death is not a wall. Death is simply a door. Listen again to the Apostle Paul. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. For the trumpet will sound, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. And that's why we call it gospel. Good news, isn't it? Because it doesn't matter if there's a fella struggling in Somalia, he can't win. Help me out here. It doesn't matter if a guy's napping at their nursing home, he can't win. It doesn't matter if we figured out that life is limited, he can't win. And it doesn't matter if we see that this world is falling apart, he can't win. We can enjoy our rocky road and enjoy our wine and food all we want because, precisely because, he can't win. So what do you have to say, Death? That's right. Little theatrics, but I hope you get the point. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We're not waiting for death. Death may be waiting for us, but we're not waiting for death. We are waiting for Jesus Christ to return. Paul says, if you belong to Him, He's going to return and you will be changed. Folks, if you are not waiting for Christ, if you don't belong to Him, we'd love to share that story with you, so that you won't see death as a wall, but death as a door. And you can live this life with hope. Let's stand and sing.